Welcome to the Sensory Project Show with Rachel and Jessica. We're here to share all things sensory, occupational therapy, parenting, self-care, and overall health and wellness from a therapist's perspective, providing raw, honest, fun ideas and strategies for parents and families to implement into daily life. Thank you so much for joining us.
Okay, before we get started today, we need to introduce you to a company that we are loving right now. The company is called Sensory Thera Play Box, and it's a sensory toy subscription box that ships out the first week of each month.
Yes, and you guys, each box is curated by a pediatric occupational therapist, and the items inside are designed to provide sensory input and help children with self-regulation and anxiety management. So we talked them into giving us a 25% discount off of your first box, and we are going to share that with you guys, our wonderful podcast listeners. So stay tuned for more information.
Okay, let's get into the episode.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Sensory Project Show. This is Rachel and Jessica.
Today we are going to talk about ADLs. And that stands for Activities of Daily Living. And it is one of the things that occupational therapists and occupational therapy assistants work on during treatment sessions.
Yes.
So, children often struggle with these activities of daily living, these ADLs. So things like feeding, meal times, getting dressed, personal hygiene, toileting, all the things that you do every day. Those are the things that our kiddos struggle with.
Yes. Now, ADLs are a little bit different than IADLs, and we did an episode in the past called, I think it's called What We Actually Do in OT, and that talks about these a little bit more about the difference and what they look like, but it's basically the things that you have to do every day to survive, right? And there can be a lot of different reasons why they're challenging for kids. They can be challenging for adults. I know sometimes I struggle with ADLs. But from a therapeutic standpoint, some of these reasons could be because of poor bilateral coordination.
Poor core stability, which affects trunk rotation.
Poor overall fine motor skills.
Challenges with tactile processing and olfactory processing.
Or basically any sensory processing.
All the sensory processing, yeah.
And then poor sequencing and executive functioning skills.
And that's just to name a few. You know, there's so many other reasons, but those are probably the big ones that stand out when we're talking about ADLs.
Now, despite these challenges, we can help our children become more successful and more independent with these tasks. That's our goal in occupational therapy, is to work on the underlying skills to help them be successful in these daily tasks.
Now, it does require time and it does require work, especially as parents. You have to help teach your child how to do these daily things. It doesn't always just come naturally. And so it also requires patience and empathy. You have to empathize with your child's struggle, because kids don't, you know, they're not quote unquote bad on purpose, right? So if your child is avoiding brushing their teeth, it's not because they want to get in trouble. It's not because they want you to get upset with them. It's, there's an underlying reason. Ultimately, they want to do good and they want to please you. So empathizing with them and saying, look, I know this is hard for you. And then you work on those underlying foundations of why it's hard. That will really help.
And also, you have to teach them how to do these things.
Yes.
It doesn't come naturally. They don't learn how to eat on their own. We teach them when they're babies and infants. We teach them how to get dressed. And if you say, here, go put your shirt on, and they don't know how to do it, well, you have to teach them. And
yes.
So we like to use that term, teach, don't tell. And ADLs will get better when you stop doing ADLs for your child. So to put it bluntly, stop doing everything for your child, and
yes,
they will get better at it, believe
That's
it or not.
So true. So true. So before we dive into any specific age groups and specific ADL tasks, we do have some ideas for all children for all activities, no matter their age or their level or what they're doing. And the first one is to use a visual schedule. And we've talked about visual schedules before. They're so beneficial. But having the visual schedule of when they're going to do certain things throughout their day, as well as breaking up those specific things. So they're, you know, they need to get dressed. Have pictures of specific clothing items that they need to get.
Yeah, we actually have a template on our website, thesensoryprojectclub.com/freebies, and you can download and print off and laminate our to-do/done template. And it's very, very simple. You put the picture of the item, and like Jessica was saying, if you're working specifically on dressing, you put the underwear, socks, shirt, pants, shoes, and you put that on the left side. And as soon as the child has completed one of those, they take the Velcro, they take the laminated picture off, and they put it onto the done side. Yep. So that's just how a visual schedule works.
Super simple.
It is. But it makes a big difference.
It does. It really does. Using a positive reward system to increase overall participation. Now, this is really, really good for those kids who, you know, just don't want to do these activities because they're so hard. Give them a positive reward for trying. Mm-hmm. Not for doing it perfectly, not for doing it every time, but for trying it. And that's going to increase their motivation and their willingness to keep trying.
And make it fun.
Yes.
Duh.
Always. Duh.
Listen to music, turn it into a race, use fun lighting. Whatever your child enjoys, incorporate it and make it a positive experience.
Yes. And then staying consistent. This is really the key, is you have to do it every single time. It can't just be every once in a while. Kids are so smart where if you let them not brush their teeth one time because they had a meltdown, they are going to keep doing that. Mm-hmm. Because they saw that it worked one time and they're going to try it again. So you have to stay consistent.
Believe it or not. Okay, so let's talk about some specific ideas for younger kiddos and specific tasks as well.
So we'll start with dressing, which we kind of, you know, talked about with the visual schedule. So first you have to teach, right? Like Rachel said, you have to teach your young child how to take clothing off and how to put it back on. Teach first.
So one of our favorite techniques is using a full body mirror. So have that mirror in their room so they can watch themselves get dressed and they can see what they're doing, as well as video feedback. Mm-hmm. If you don't have a full length mirror, turn on the camera and turn it around so it faces them and they can see what they're doing, because having that visual makes a big difference.
Yes. I always say allow your child to choose their own outfit. No matter what, with, you know, a few exceptions here and there, but the majority of the time you can let your kiddo pick out their own clothes. And if they don't want to wear jeans because jeans are uncomfortable, get them some sweatpants. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, for a lot of kids, that is a piece of their independence, and it's something that they can control, is choosing what to wear. So pick your battles. You know, mm-hmm. if it's 25 degrees outside, your kid wants to wear shorts. You know, you got to kind of see if you want to fight that battle, or if they're going to put those shorts on independently, you might just let them do it.
Yeah, and then walk them outside and say, how's the weather out here? Mm-hmm. How do you feel? Do you think you can walk to school with your shorts on? Yep. If they say yes, let them do it, and then maybe next time they'll choose not to.
I will say, going along with this whole episode of teaching and not doing it for them, there is a book called Parenting with Love and Logic. I'm in the middle of it right now. And one of the big things is letting kiddos learn from their mistakes. So if they do go outside in shorts and it's snowing outside and they think they're going to be fine, and you know that they're not going to get frostbite, you know that they are going to be okay, they're just going to be cold, mm-hmm. let them do it. And then instead of you telling them, no, it's cold, you have to do this, and they're going to fight you on it, they can learn on their own. And next time they see snow, be like, oh man, I was really cold last time. This time I'm going to dress warmer. And they can learn how to do that if you let them.
They learn faster that way as well from making those mistakes.
And kids like to fight parents on these types of things. Mm-hmm. So if you can pick your battles and let them learn, then they'll be more successful.
Yeah. So there's another tool that we like to use in therapy called chaining. So forward chaining, backward chaining. And this is when you help the child complete the first several steps or the last several steps. Mm-hmm. And so it depends on your child's ability, their level. But I like to use this one when I'm teaching shoe tying. Mm-hmm. And so I will do all of the steps except for the last one and have the child pull those bunny ears tight so they still feel a little bit of that success. Mm-hmm. And then the next time we do shoe tying, then I'm going to give them the last two steps to do and then the last three steps. And so we're just going to chain it backwards like that.
Going along with this, you can ask them what part they want help with.
Or don't ask at all and say, let me know if you need help. Yes. I'm here if you need me.
Yes, exactly.
But don't immediately step in to help.
Let them struggle.
Let them get frustrated. Yes. And talk about that. Use that as an experience of saying, man, I think that you might be in the red zone or the yellow zone. What do you think? Mm-hmm. What can we do? How can we help?
Yes, absolutely. And then, you know, if they do ask for your help, you give them a little bit of help, but they're still doing the work too. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about self-feeding for younger kids. This can be a challenge for kiddos who are, you know, picky eaters. They don't like different textures. They don't like different smells. They don't like sitting at the table. And they just struggle to feed themselves. First things first, I always like to say, put a mirror at the table. Kids love visual feedback. Young kids love looking at themselves. Mm-hmm. So get just a little plastic mirror, a little, you know, non-breakable mirror, and have it available at the table. And it becomes part of the routine that they can have a mirror to look at themselves with.
Yep. Another one of my favorite tools is to practice using utensils during playtime.
Yes.
So throw your forks and your spoons into sensory bins or cut Play-Doh or scoop beans and pour them. So that way they don't feel that pressure of being required to use their utensil at mealtime, but they can still play with it.
They're developing those fine motor skills that are required for self-feeding, but they're doing it through play, which is how children learn. Mm-hmm. At the table, you are serving up a plate of food to your kid, and you put a big old spoonful of mashed potatoes on there, and your kid just hates it, right? Instead, allow your child to serve themselves. If it's a requirement that they have a little bit of each food on their plate, whether they eat it or not, which is a great strategy, by the way, allow them to serve themselves their own mashed potatoes. Even if it's just a little tiny scoop, they're still going to have that independence. They have that control. So oftentimes our kids fight us because they don't feel like they have control. So allowing that control of serving themselves is such a great strategy.
What is it going to hurt if they spill something on the table?
Ooh,
like, is that a big problem or a little problem, yep. Parents? It's a little problem.
And if they do spill on the floor, who's going to clean it up?
Not the adult.
We are calling you guys out.
But in all honesty, you guys, it makes such a big difference. You let them make those mistakes. You let them spill their mashed potatoes on the table. And then you say, oh, was that a big problem or a little problem? They're like, it was a little problem. Great. Go grab a rag. Clean it up. Cool. Let's move on.
But also wait for their reaction. Mm-hmm. So if they do spill, just kind of watch and see what they do. Because sometimes kids will look to you to see what the reaction should be. So if they do spill their mashed potatoes and you
kind go, of, oh my gosh, I can't believe I just spilled the mashed potatoes.
Guess what? They're going to do the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where instead, if they spill the mashed potatoes and you look over and then you just keep eating your food, they're going to do the same thing. And then when dinner's done, you clean it up.
Another fun thing for mealtime is to get fun utensils, fun dishes, things like that.
So many good ones.
So many good ones. We should just link a bunch of our favorites.
We will.
In the show notes.
Yes.
Because that'll be good.
My favorite is the one where it's like a path. Mm-hmm. And there's little sections and you put bites of food in each section and you follow the path around. And then at the end, there's like a little prize and you put a little treat in there or something.
I think my favorite is the eight, the plate.
Oh, that's a good one.
Mm-hmm. So they have to spin it and it opens up like one section of the plate.
Yes.
Yeah.
For kiddos who refuse to feed themselves and they will only eat if you put the food in their mouth, you need to start creating an expectation that they will do some of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so kind of going back to that chaining component, maybe they do the first bite themselves and then you do the rest. The next meal, they do the first two and then you do the rest.
Mm-hmm.
But you create this expectation that you will help them if they do some of it first.
Absolutely. And don't give in to tantrums.
Mm-hmm.
You know, tell them in the kindest voice possible, I see that you're upset and that's okay. You let me know when you're ready. You let me know when I can help you. You let me know if you need to take a break.
Mm-hmm.
I'm here to help you. But if you get uncomfortable by those tantrums and you immediately give them whatever they're tantruming about, or you don't make them do whatever they're tantruming about, then they're going to continue to tantrum and it's just going to spiral downhill. But if you empathize with them and you treat them with kindness and respect and you're patient, they will ideally,
typically
get better.
And again, it's going to take work on your part to identify your reactions so that you can help them be successful.
Okay, we are going to take a quick break from today's episode because we want to tell you a little bit more about why Sensory Thera Playbox is just so awesome.
So their July box included one of our favorite games. It's called Pancake Pileup, and it's a super fun matching game that works on a lot of different skills. But they also had some fun tactile fidgets, a stretchy bead-filled wristband, which is super cool, and more.
Not only do their products help children with self-regulation and sensory integration, like we already mentioned, but also with fine motor development, visual motor skills, and these items can be used for positive reward chart systems, and they're delivered directly to your door every month, so you don't even have to think about it.
And you guys, it's so fun getting boxes in the mail. So like a subscription box is the best thing ever. We mentioned earlier that they are giving our listeners a 25% discount when you sign up, and that discount will go towards your first box.
So what you're going to do is head to their website, sensorytheraplaybox.com, and use the code THESENSORYPROJECTSHOW in all caps and with no spaces.
We will link it in the show notes as well, but make sure you go check them out. And let's get back to the episode. Okay, let's talk about younger kiddos who struggle to brush their teeth. This is a big one. Kids don't like the feeling of the toothbrush in their mouth. They don't like the taste of the toothpaste. Oftentimes, if a child has a super sensitive gag reflex, that toothbrush going towards the back of their mouth is going to facilitate a gag. And that's uncomfortable. So they're not going to like it.
Yeah. So we always suggest, before we even suggest, if you have an infant, get in their mouth
all the
today.
Time.
Get one of those little finger brushes, yes. Get in their mouth, you know, massage their gums, mm-hmm. Get in their cheeks. Just start desensitizing from the time that they are born.
Yep, pretty much.
And then, as they grow up, then you can try using a vibrating toothbrush.
Mm-hmm.
Give them a little bit more input. You could try changing the toothpaste.
Yes. So my son, who's almost 7, he loves picking out his own toothpaste and his own mouthwash. So anytime he needs some new stuff, we go to the store and he gets to pick out whichever kind he wants. Now, I will tell you this backfired on him once because he got like a watermelon flavored mouthwash and he hated it. But that's what he chose.
Uh-huh.
So he had to use it before we got more and he had all the control and it worked.
There you go. I bet he never picked that one again.
He sure didn't. He picked grape and he likes the grape.
Ew.
I know. He doesn't like mint, though. And I think that the majority of kids, I don't know. That might not be true. There might be some kids that love the mint flavors.
Interesting.
So I don't know.
Yeah.
Everyone has their own preferences.
It's a good little story.
Okay.
So another thing that we like to incorporate is oral motor input throughout the day, different times of the day. Just giving them more input to help desensitize. So we love the Z-Vibe by ARC Therapeutic. We have an episode about their products.
Because they're amazing.
Give them chew tubes, sour spray.
Ooh, a favorite.
Vibrating teethers for infants. Yep. Just lots and lots of oral motor input.
You can do oral motor games with Bubble Mountain. You can blow cotton balls through straws. You can do, you know, different games with your mouth where you make different noises with your mouth or you imitate silly faces just to work on, you know, that awareness of the oral structures.
Mm-hmm. Whistles are great.
Ooh, whistles are good.
Oh, kazoos.
Oh,
yes. Do you
remember
kazoos?
I do.
Love those. Another thing that we love, and I'll typically use this when I'm working on toothbrushing mm-hmm. in sessions, is an app called Brush Ease. Mm-hmm. And so I'll ask the kiddo if they want to use the app. If they do, we just open it up. It's got a silly song. It's got a visual. They can follow along, a timer, and it's just goofy. So
visual timers are good for this too. Mm-hmm. So you can always use a visual timer, which is similar. I think, you know, if you're really noticing, if you notice a gag reflex happening with toothbrushing, then you might want to talk to an OT or a speech language pathologist, because that can be something that can be worked on to decrease that gag reflex.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Our favorite subject. Toileting.
Oh, it's definitely your fave.
No, I just think it's my favorite because no one else likes to talk about it. And
no, it's uncomfortable. It's awkward.
It's a big part of the day. I mean, oh, we go to the bathroom a lot.
All the time.
Yeah. So first thing, listen to our episode called Poo 2.0. There are some great ideas from like a sensory standpoint to help with going poop.
Mm-hmm. Also, one key component here is just overall body mechanics when you're sitting on a toilet. So you need to make sure that your child has good foot support. This is true for when they're eating as well. You want to make sure they have good foot support while sitting on the toilet, because otherwise their body's just not in alignment. They can't push, and having a stool available for them is going to make such a difference.
I'm sure you guys have all heard of the squatty potty,
yep.
Right?
Yep.
From Shark Tank? That'd be a good one.
Yeah.
Kids need to move more to understand the signals that their body sends in regards to toileting.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Soapbox. If your child is watching TV or sitting on an electronic device for the majority of their day, their body is not going to digest their food. They're not going to get any of those signals through their body that, you know, that the food and the liquid needs to go through their body. And also, chances are, they're probably not very hungry because they're not moving.
Mm-hmm.
So your child needs to get up and run and play. Kids need to move. And in doing so, their body is going to process and understand and digest.
You know what else is interesting is the interoceptive system. So that's like recognizing what's going on inside of your body. Mm-hmm. It's your sensory system there.
Ooh, do we have an episode on that?
We do.
We do.
It is directly connected to the vestibular system.
Mm-hmm.
So if your child is having a hard time recognizing when to go to the bathroom, the urge to go, actually going, give them some vestibular input to help make those connections happen to then improve their ability to eliminate.
Okay, one of our favorite activities, one of Rachel's favorite activities. I do like this one, but I don't think I love it as much as Rachel does.
No, I love it.
Yeah, is to practice wiping with the balloon activity.
Mm-hmm.
There's a whole video on it that you can go watch.
It's like an infomercial.
It's so great.
That's a great one. And then complete more games that require trunk rotation and core stability. So if you don't have a therapy ball, get yourself a therapy ball.
Right now.
And incorporate trunk rotation while using the therapy ball.
And again, this all goes back to what Rachel said about the vestibular system. It's all related.
It's all connected.
It's all connected. Toileting, visual schedule, reward system, like we mentioned before. Okay. Let's talk about our older kids.
Mm-hmm.
Preteens, teenagers.
Even adults.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there you go.
So we'll start with showering. We're bathing.
And I think this is also going to include, you know, like washing your face,
mm-hmm.
washing your hair, washing your body, all those components of bathing.
First things first, you can always use a social story to address the social aspects, the safety, the cleanliness that is required to be a functioning human of society.
Yeah.
So social story is a great option.
Using a visual schedule, like we said, but having those specific steps for showering. So first you turn the water on, then you get in. Mm-hmm. You wash your hair. You rinse the soap out of your hair. Like, being super specific can really help with those kiddos who struggle with sequencing.
Can I just do a side note here for therapists out there? If you have these goals for your child, or for if you're a therapist, you have these goals as a therapist, and you want to incorporate them, and the family's just not quite on board, they will get there. And sometimes you just have to let those goals marinate. Mm-hmm. And when the families are frustrated and exhausted, showering the kids, working on these, that's when you say, great, I'm glad that you're ready to address these. Let's come up with a plan, implement these strategies. But if you're forcing it from the start and saying, let's work on bathing, let's work on this, let's do this, and they just haven't gotten there yet, just let it marinate, and you tell them that you're ready to help when they're ready.
Yes. Yeah, you don't want to make them feel guilty. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's tricky as a therapist, because we see the potential and we know the strategies that can work, but we have to meet the families where they're at. Absolutely.
Yeah. I've just, you know, I've had those situations come up in the past, and I just, it was very eye-opening for me when the family was all of a sudden like, all right, let's work on this. Let's do it. I'm like, okay. Because when I'd addressed it in the past, it never got carried over.
Yeah. Going back to the visual schedule and the specific steps, I just thought of this. If your child is showering, but they're forgetting what they've already done, because again, they struggle with sequencing, they struggle with attention, so they're washing their hair 5 times in the shower because they forgot that they already did it. One strategy you can have is you can have like 2 buckets in the shower, 2 baskets in the shower, and you can have like a to-do basket or in a done basket. And once they wash their hair with the shampoo, that shampoo bottle goes in the done basket. And then they can look and see, oh, I still need to do conditioner. Then the conditioner bottle goes in the done basket. And so you can kind of have that instead of like a, you know, laminated visual schedule. You can just kind of have the objects separated to know which one to do next.
I love that.
Yeah, that's so a good one. Fun.
Yeah. You can change some of the sensory aspects in the room. So dim the lights, add sparkle lights.
That's my favorite. Like some little twinkle lights in the bathroom. That makes it so much more fun.
It does. Light a candle. Have the kiddo pick out the smell of the candle that they'd like to light.
Yes.
And incorporate a shower radio or use music with waterproof speakers.
Oh, yes. Waterproof speakers are so cheap nowadays. Mm-hmm. You could totally just get one.
Yeah. Let them pick out the song. Or the podcast or audiobook.
Adding a mirror in the shower can be helpful. You can just like stick one up there on the wall, a little plastic mirror, and that's going to help them to, you know, wash their hair, wash their face. We also thought about adding a mirror on the ceiling so that when they have to tip their head back to rinse their hair, they can look up at the mirror and see and have that visual as they're rinsing out their hair.
Yes. Also incorporating simulated shower tasks into play. So one thing that we like to do to address shaving is putting shaving cream on a balloon or a bucket or some type of object and using a popsicle stick to simulate shaving.
Yes, this is a super fun one to do outside.
Mm-hmm. Summertime, it's perfect.
Oh, for sure. Doing exercises that require tilting the head back and getting into that neck extension while also raising the arms up against gravity.
That's probably one of the biggest challenges is tipping the head back and keeping the arms up above their shoulders for an extended period of time.
Maybe we need to do some strengthening activities throughout the day. Maybe we need to do more upper body activities. Rock climbing is such a great option for older kids. You know, just be creative.
Yeah. And then the last thing is incorporating more vestibular-based activities.
This goes into everything.
It does. Because your vestibular system is going to interfere if you can't tip your head back. Mm-hmm. And if you're uncomfortable, if you feel like you're falling, then of course you're not going to want to tip your head back to wash your hair. Yeah. So work on that. And then also work on the in-hand manipulation. So simulating, washing your hair, you could get yarn and cut yarn and put shampoo on in. So they have to, you know, put it all over a balloon or in a bowl and they have to wash it and get all the shampoo out. But anytime that you can just simulate that activity, I know it's hard in therapy to actually address the specific activity, but
unless you have like a shower.
Yeah. That's true.
That'd be cool.
That would be nice.
Okay.
So there you go.
The other option too is allowing your child to take a bath. I mean, as an older, you know, kiddo and adult, you definitely don't get as clean, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you're sitting
what? In, you don't?
In your own dirty water. But it is definitely an option if you need to use it.
Totally.
All right, let's talk about personal hygiene for older kiddos. This kind of, you know, goes into that idea of using deodorant so that your kiddo's not stinky all day. Mm-hmm. You know, body odor is a thing.
It is. I feel like this is something that I talk about with my kids. Mm-hmm. And we'll, you know, we'll just joke about it and say, oh man, you know, you're going to get all sweaty and stinky. Did you put deodorant on? As a joke. And then it kind of opens the door. Mm-hmm. And they're like, no, I didn't. I said, oh, well, should we work on that? And then we'll talk about it with the families. And so it's an important thing to address in therapy.
Yeah. Always visual schedule. Add that deodorant onto the visual schedule. Incorporate a social story to identify the social components of wearing deodorant. Friends, you know, teenagers, maybe they're getting into like relationships or something. I don't know what kids do these days.
They just do everything on social media.
I hate it. So they don't need deodorant.
They just don't. No. God. If it's an area that you as a parent cannot get your child to participate in, then talk to your OT about bringing in deodorant to therapy and just leaving it there so they get at least in the routine of putting it on in therapy. And typically kiddos are more willing to do this with someone other than the parent.
So true.
So that's always an option as well.
Again, allow your kiddo to pick out which deodorant they want. Experiment with different types of deodorant because there are different types of deodorant that affect people differently. So maybe your child would prefer a deodorant that's like the gel deodorant, or maybe they want to try the spray deodorant, you know? Mm-hmm. Try different things. Experiment with different types.
Yeah, you could always try to find those natural ones if you like the ones that don't have the aluminum in them.
For sure.
They have lots of those on the market these days.
Yeah. Allow your child some control in this area. See what mm-hmm. they want to do.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about, I thought we did wiping already.
We did it for young kids.
Oh, okay.
We did going on the toilet for little kids.
So for older kiddos who struggle with wiping.
After the bathroom.
Yep. Then, you know, using that social story to help them recognize why it's important to get a nice clean rear end.
And I think this is huge too. Talk to them about the potential, you know, side effects, negative side effects that can come if they don't, you know, use proper hygiene techniques after going to the bathroom. If your kiddo can kind of understand some of those ideas, it'd be very important to talk about that. Don't try to scare them, but just have a conversation about it.
There's always that tactile component for not wanting to get their hands messy.
Yes.
So practice with peanut butter or shaving cream, or incorporate more tactile-based activities throughout the day.
Not or, and always.
Thank you.
And yes,
thank you.
Always.
You can always use gloves if they're very uncomfortable.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that that is really a big issue, right?
No.
I think some families might think like, oh, I don't want my kid to just use gloves. They should just do it. But you know what? If they are so uncomfortable with the potential of getting their hands messy that they just are refusing to wipe, give them some dang gloves.
It's better to have a clean bum than to have that power struggle over gloves.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Give them some dang gloves.
But also, you know, make sure that their feet are supported on the ground. Check out that squatty potty. Mm-hmm. Try some flushable wet wipes versus TP.
Totally, yeah. Some kiddos just don't like that feeling of toilet paper, so give them other options.
Working on the in-hand manipulation for folding and using the appropriate force to wipe, mm-hmm. so you can incorporate that into play.
Yeah, force modulation is mm-hmm. a huge challenge.
You don't always have to practice in the toilet in the moment, but during play, during different activities.
Right. And, you know, we mentioned earlier when we were talking about younger kids using the toilet, but we do have that episode, Poo 2.0, that has some great strategies. Big thing here, guys, this goes along with everything, but stop doing it for them.
Yeah.
We're calling you out today.
Yeah.
You get in the habit. I get it.
It's easier. Yeah, it is.
It really is. It's easier. It's faster. You know it's done right. But in the end...
Here's what you can do. Let them wipe on their own. And then you can come in after they've already given it their best effort. Double check. Give them a once over. And then... talk to them about it. Be like, dude, there was still a lot of poo on your bum that I had to wipe off. So next time, let's try to get a little bit more off. And so that way, they're still having that independence with it, but you can get your control in there if you need to make sure that it's done right and they're all clean. So
and see if there's a way to give them positive feedback, even if they did a terrible job.
Yeah, that wasn't a very good example of me.
Okay. No, that's okay. I've had to do this myself with my son where I'm like, okay, he did a really shitty job, literally, but I got to give him some positive feedback. Otherwise, he's not going to want to keep trying. So yes. Figuring out how you can give some positive reinforcement in there somehow, you can do it.
All right, let's talk about hair management. So brushing hair, doing hair, styling hair. Yes. If they're more on the sensitive side for tolerating their hair being done, you could always try a wet brush, which is a specific type of brush that doesn't hurt with tangles as much.
Mm-hmm. Vibrating hair brushes are pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Kind of makes it more fun and interesting.
Yep. They have scalp massagers that you can use to desensitize.
Yes. I thought about this idea because this is actually what I do. So here you go, TMI. But allowing your, this is probably more specific for daughters, right, with longer hair, but allowing them to comb their hair in the shower when their conditioner is in their hair, right? So I don't really brush my hair, to be honest with you guys. I do it, you know, a couple times a week, but I have like a really big wide tooth comb that I use while I'm in the shower when the conditioner is in my hair, and that's when, you know, I get the tangles out. So allowing them to do it at different times.
Yep. Believe it or not, practicing makes a big difference.
Yep.
Holding a handful of hair at the roots, like above where you're brushing, and then like brush at the bottom, starting in that method, that can be helpful with those sensitive Sallys.
If your kiddo is struggling to do like ponytails or simple braids or something like that, then you're going to want to work on some upper body and hand strengthening exercises to improve their endurance and their ability to hold their arms up above gravity, in hand manipulation activities to improve their dexterity.
Yep. Practice these skills on dolls or on other people in front of the mirror. If you're working on ponytails, oh, I like to do... side ponies first, if the hair is long enough, because that way they can see what they need to do with the ponytail. Same with braids, braiding on the side first, so they can see that. But yeah, great, just practice.
Practice, don't do it for them. Empathy.
Positive feedback.
Yes, you can do it. Pick one thing at a time. If your child struggles with multiple areas of ADLs, pick the one that is either impacting them the most, or pick the one that you think will be the fastest to make progress in. Like, just pick the one that's going to work best for you guys and work on that first. Do one thing at a time.
Yeah, because I don't know if you guys are like me and you get overwhelmed if there's like all these different ideas and you want to do all of them at the same time.
Yep.
It won't work. It'll backfire.
And the other thing too is that once your child sees success in one area, they're going to be more likely to try the next area that's challenging.
Yes, definitely. So. Okay. I think that's all in the area of activities of daily living. If you guys have any more questions, if you need any more strategies, don't hesitate to reach out. That's what we're here for.
We love when you guys ask us questions, when you try the things we talk about and tag us on Instagram. Every time that we open our messages and there's a message from someone saying, hey, look what we did today. We're like, oh, that's so cool.
Yes.
So we love that. If you can leave us a review on iTunes, that'd be amazing.
And if you need our podcast on steroids, you guys know that our membership club is always open and you're always more than welcome to join, get more resources, more courses. You can ask specific questions in a one-on-one training with us there. And we also have our new therapeutic resource ebook bundle that is launching so soon. We cannot wait. It is all of the visuals, handouts, resources, information from the Sensory Project Club from 2019 and 2020, all packed into one digital file for you guys.
Yep. Make sure you're following us on Instagram because we'll post the information that you need to get that as soon as it's out, as well as we always post, you know, special deals and sales on all of our courses on Instagram. So make sure you're there.
All right, you guys, we will chat with you next week.
Okay, bye.
Okay, so before we let you go, a quick reminder to check out Sensory Thera Playbox. Use the code THESENSORYPROJECTSHOW to receive a 25% discount on your first box.
Yeah, you guys, instead of just buying random toys for your kids all the time, this box provides specific items that are curated by a pediatric occupational therapist. So it's not just junk to add to your living room. It's it's products that are designed with a specific need in mind.
Yes, and they're delivered to your door each month. Super fun opening the box. They're perfect for so many different things. Skill development, using these items as rewards for sticker charts. You know, we like to use sticker reward charts for toilet training or trying new foods or getting dressed or primitive reflex integration. You know, all the things. And these are the perfect items to use as those rewards.
You guys, if you do sign up and take advantage of this awesome offer, then when you get your box, tag us on Instagram, tag them on Instagram at SensoryTheraPlayBox, and make sure that you're watching our Instagram stories because we are going to give you some behind the scenes on this wonderful company and all the goodies that you can get.
So excited to work together to help create confident kids all over the world and work towards a happier, healthier life. Just a friendly reminder, this is general information related to occupational therapy, pediatrics, and sensory integration. We do not know you or your child, therefore we do not know any specific needs. Therefore, you should always refer back to your pediatrician and occupational therapist for more information.